Good morning and welcome to Brad Graber, our financial planner with investingintruth.com. He's been joining us every week. What's it been, 2 years you've been with us now, Brad?
Year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
Feels like forever to you, doesn't it?
It's been good.
It has been very good. We appreciate you taking us to God's Word to just help us with our finances. And today we're talking with Brad about work, God's gift to man. We don't always see it that way, do we, Steve?
We do not always see it that way, but it's biblical.
Mm-hmm.
We are to work. We're supposed to do all things to the glory of God. So, Brad, share a little bit about this, because a lot of people don't view it that way. You know, the American dream is not involving going to work. It's always getting out of work. So how do we live, you know, God's dream for us?
Yeah, and a bad theology of work or a bad understanding of work from a biblical perspective can just impact so many areas of our life. So I'm always talking to people about retirement or, issues like gambling, because that involves finances and all of those things. If we don't have work in its proper place, can throw off how we view all those things. And I like to take it back to Scripture, and we can start even at the very beginning. And what we see is, in God's own character, we see work. And in Genesis 2, it tells us, it talks about the 6 days of creation, then God rests on the seventh from all the work that he had done in creation. And not only did he work to create, but then he also continues to work in the way that he sustains his creation. So God's not, he's still working even at this point in time. And then we take it on to Jesus, and we look at Jesus' example to us. John 1:3 tells us how he was working in creation, because all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we see Jesus even at work in creation. We see him during his earthly life, that he was working as a carpenter and a preacher. And then as we study Jesus even further, we see that he's still working as our intercessor and our high priest, even at this point in time. And then the beauty is to take this back to, who is man? Well, man was created as image bearers. We were created in God's image, and that means that we reflect his characteristics. And that should be our joy. That's the way that we give glory back to God, is that we reflect his characteristics. And what we're seeing is that his characteristic, his character, is one of work. So we should want to do it. So just out of a motivation to glorify God, we should want to work. But if that's not enough, in Exodus 20, he tells us, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So we're even commanded to work even above that. So if the carrot's not enough, I guess the stick of the command will hopefully be enough to motivate us to go do that work.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, Brad, too, and we were chatting about this back and forth in an email late last week, that we've got a lot of college students who are going to be graduating in May. They're going to be out there looking for jobs. And for some of them, it's going to be more than just that part-time job they might have held on campus and just to earn some extra money to pay for school. Now they really have to get out into the workforce. And there are principles of work that you talk about in one of your blog posts at from investinginTruth.com. And principles of work such as respect your employer. And I think this is a huge thing to teach new graduates who are getting that first big job, but also it's an important refresher for those of us who have been in the workplace for a long time. So share a little more of what you were getting at with that.
Yeah, and it's easy to have that self-centered desire and that focus, and we forget that idea of respecting our employer. If you go to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 5, it's talking about the bondservant, and the bondservant is kind of today's equivalent of the worker, and then the master that it refers to is obviously the employer. And it says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. And I just love how many times it talks about Christ and the Lord in that verse. And it's always putting that focus back. It's not just your employer you're doing it for. These are structures that God has put into our world. And whichever side of that you're on, you have a responsibility, whether you're the employer or whether you're in the employee. And if we can always remember that whatever we're doing for the Lord, then that changes that relationship completely. We stop seeing it as, you know, maybe I don't like the way that my employer is doing something. But we need to remember that it's something bigger. We've got a bigger picture going on here, and what we're doing can glorify God. And it doesn't matter how mundane that task may be. It may be something that, you know, that directly impacts people's spiritual lives. Or it may be just putting together a part in a factory. And it doesn't seem like that glorifies God somehow, but yet it's a piece of the bigger function that's going on. And even that littlest, most mundane task can be for God's glory just as much as the other can be.
That is excellent. So, Brad, then tell us, you know, you said either side of that equation, there's a responsibility and that we should view that through, obviously, our relationship with Christ. So let's talk about honesty. You know, how do we express that from Scripture when it is talking about honesty in our dealings with work?
Yeah, and this goes from both sides as well, the employee or the employer. So Proverbs 11:18 says, "The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward." And then I'll toss one more out there. Proverbs 20, verse 17 says, "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be full of gravel." So we see both of them right here. So number one, if you're the employer, don't cheat your customers to make a greater profit. So we have to make sure that we're being honest in our dealings there. We don't want to earn an unfair profit. But then employees shouldn't cheat their employer by not doing the work that they're being paid to perform and wanting to take that full paycheck. That's where it says the wicked earn deceptive wages. We need to make sure that we're always doing the work that we're being paid to do and honoring our employer through that. So, there's really a great responsibility on both sides. As an employee, it's easy to see, oh, well, you know, the responsibility's on me, but my employer gets away with this. But really not. God is the master of both. So whether you're at the employee level, whether you're at the employer level, there's still an accountability back to God in the way that we do our business.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian, you also talk about paying a fair wage, and, you know, that puts it back on the employer to make sure that the employee is compensated fairly, and this also honors God. But, you know, I want you to share a little bit more about that. And also just the fact that maybe if you could, we need to be content with where we are. I just always think about what the Apostle Paul said, because, you know, the guy worked sewing tents. He was an evangelist, but he did whatever he had to do. Just share a little bit about the contentment, too. And if we will just maintain that attitude on the job as we're being paid, I think God blesses that hugely also.
Yeah. And so let me start with the first part of the question. So the laborer deserves his wages. So we see that principle being taught in Scripture. So as an employer, we need to remember, as a Christian employer, we should have a heart for caring for our employees and their families. So it's not right for us to expect them to work and not be justly compensated. So we need to make sure that we're always doing that. And that's just the way of us caring for them, but also not stealing what they have earned. But then as the employee, the exact same is true on the opposite side of it. We shouldn't expect to be paid for something we haven't done. And you speak of contentment. And I think part of it is looking at it even through the employer's eyes. Am I being fairly compensated for the work that I'm doing? And if so, then there should be a level of contentment there. If I need to be earning more to provide for my family, then can I do more work? Can I do better work? Can I improve myself from the position that I'm at to maybe a better position by adding skill? Because we should expect to only be paid what we're really worth being paid, the value that we're adding to our employer. And if you just look at it from an economic standpoint, as a worker, the employer can only afford to pay me up to the point that I'm adding value to them. And the cost of adding an employee isn't just in what shows up in our paycheck. There's other costs for an employer to actually add an employee. And we need to make sure that we're always adding enough value to our employer that they can afford to pay us what they're paying us. And ideally that employer is expecting to make a profit off of it too, because there's a lot of work in having an employee working for you. You have to manage that employee. It adds, you know, more book work. It adds so many other layers of it. And as the employee, we should always be basically stating our case for the wages that we're making by the work and the value that we're delivering to our employer.
Yeah.
And I think when we can tie in what we're getting paid to the value that we're delivering and the work that we're doing, I think contentment can come with that. And you're exactly right, though, that we need to be content with our wages. And, you know, again, it goes back to, though, if we need to make more to provide for our family, then we need to look at doing it in a godly way.